Welcome, Knicks fans. Welcome to another episode of the Worldwide Knicks podcast, episode number 76. I would like to start apologizing because last episode we were talking about how good it is to be a Knicks fan, how life was good, and we spelled doom because players are dropping like flies. But dropping like flies are the wins as well because we didn't lose one game this week. Sorry, I had to start with this apology because I believe it's our fault. My fault, Rafa, and alongside me and sharing the blame is Alex. How are you doing this fine evening?
Yeah, I mean, I'm hard to keep up with my usual pessimistic, depressive self. You know, with the team winning all the time. Although there's all these injuries, none of them seem to be particularly long term. So this is a great time of year to take a few days off and a few games off and kind of recharge the batteries for the push for the playoffs. So I think if the team was going to have a lot of injuries, then January, February is a good time to do it. And of course, they'll get a break at the All-Star as well.
Yeah, I mean, especially if we keep on winning. Since we have won 8 straight. We have won every single game this week. So we were both wrong in our predictions because we said we were going to lose one of these games. We beat the Nuggets the game right after we recorded. That Alex was dreading to see because of times and it never goes well. It went perfectly. We won by 38 points against Nuggets. The game against the Heat. It's great to beat the Heat, but it was the game where a disaster happened. Almost full-blown disaster. Knicks fans were on the edge of their phones, let's say, waiting for the news on the Randall's MRI and everything on his on his shoulder. And, well, it's not as bad as one might assume because it was Knicks. All hell could break loose, like Randall losing his arm or something. It would be a very Knicks-like thing to happen. We beat the Hornets as well.
I know we're going to talk about the Randall injury in more detail, so it's probably better to talk about it then. But go ahead with your recap.
Yeah, but just we'll get to Randall. We'll get to Randall because let's be cheerful first and then be sad after. As I was saying, we beat the Hornets as well. Just middle of the road win. It's how this team operates now. The teams we have to beat or we should beat, we are beating easily and consistently with great third quarters, which is amazingly third quarters of being of bloom and out of doom. And then we beat the Jazz. Beat the Jazz again. Sexton, Omar's favorite player, poked the beast, and the beast just murdered him, which is what we like to see. This was the week we won, but we won without about 2.5 of those games without Julius Randle, who, as we were saying, he went down with an injury because Heat favorite Vasquez just is it Vasquez? I'm confused now. Vasquez. No, Jaquez, or whatever. I mean, I'm Portuguese and I don't even know how to say it. James Jr., basically.
It wasn't Bam for once, anyway. So
it was not.
Bam took a night off from causing major injuries to the opposing team's players.
It was his grasshopper. His grasshopper just learning well. It's the culture. It's the Heat culture. Injuring opposing players. Randall was down and he was holding his shoulder dramatically. And Knicks fan, you could feel the energy just completely go away from the Knicks, from Knicks fan. Like, oh my god, running. Randall was running to the bench and then to the locker rooms, and people just started panicking. He didn't shoot the free throws, and it's like, oh my god, it's doomed. It's doomed. The season is doomed. But it's not as bad as it is. It's a couple of weeks, Obviously, he will need a couple of weeks playing to get the feeling back. If he did it with the ankle, he will probably do this with the shoulder as well. But how scared were you when all that happened? How scared were you? It was an afternoon game. Don't even remember. When you watched the game, when you watched those images, Randall just grabbing that shoulder, the shoulder did not look right, basically. And you could see something was wrong. But yeah. Alex, how emotions? How you as a pessimist, as a true believer in pessimism? What were your feelings there?
Yeah. I mean, you could obviously see something was wrong straight away. Randall's not the sort of one to kind of stay down. Although not having had a dislocated shoulder myself, but you pretty much it was pretty obvious what the injury was when he got up. You could see it come out his shoulder almost. You know, the fact that he wasn't screaming in pain at first made me think, okay, maybe I'm seeing something. I'm seeing something that's not there. I guess it was just a bit of shock. You know, like when you suffer a serious injury, you can just have a bit of shock and not feel the pain straight away. So, and again, because he went straight to the locker room, you were like, this is not good. So, but yeah, I mean, what's come out in the last day is promising. I see a lot of people talking today about how, you know, he's getting reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks, and maybe there's still surgery that could still happen. I wouldn't see that at all. I think the nature of that injury that they would take a decision on surgery here and now. You know, and if it was that would be season over. So, I can't really see them in 3 weeks' time suddenly going, yeah, he needs surgery. I don't know. I think that decision has been made that, you know, he's going to push on through it. So, poor guy, though. I mean, that's, again, so many people have judged him and made their minds up about him that, you know, he's just this, that, and the other, also negative about him, but he's now going to be going into a playoffs, which everybody seems to be willing to judge him on, and he's going to be potentially not 100%. So I think we all want to see Randall just, you know, in his beast mode and in the playoffs and finally putting that one to bed. So, yeah, a bit gutted for him, to be honest. He was playing so well. And likely to be named in the All-Star team tonight, even though he's not going to play.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not an expert, a health expert. I'm not a doctor. But when it comes to dislocated shoulders, I have in a family someone who dislocated both their shoulders, actually. And there was a Benfica player a few years ago who also had a dislocated shoulder. Basically, when you dislocate your shoulder once, you are more, you can dislocate it again easier. You can dislocate it easier again. So it can happen, if you're not careful, consistently, which is terrible. It sucks. That's why you need the surgery to fix it, to make it not pop out. I mean, if they're going to evaluate there, if it's a bad dislocation, if it's the gap between the two bones is way too big and it just pops out easy, he might need surgery. So I can see that there's the possibility of having surgery there. If they say, okay, any bump just takes the shoulder out of place, yeah, you need surgery, screw the season, you need to get the screws up or whatever they do. Again, not a doctor. But I see Randall trying to, as a player that he is, I see Randall trying to play through it and then have the surgery if needed in the summer.
Yeah.
I think he might be that guy. Probably, it happened last year with the ankle. But, well, you need both. It's, well, the most important part is the shoulder to move around and the ankle to make the pivots and everything. So, and he is the guy who uses the shoulder a lot to get the advantage,
to be
Bully Randall. So he needs to be confident on that shoulder. It's the part.
At least it's not his shooting arm, at least. But obviously, he still needs to get his other hand up there, his other shoulder up there. So, but yeah.
So it just, I'm just thinking, because looking at the shoulder can be an issue, or it can be an issue. This image, I was mentioning this Benfica player because there's an image, it always stuck in my mind, that this player during a game, again, the cough is still here, sorry, during a game, he dislocated the shoulder again, and he just went to the bench, and they filmed the bench, and they just popped it into place, and he went straight back into playing, which is obviously you can't do in basketball because you need that arm to move the ball, as in soccer you use your feet. But yeah, I hope he's okay. I hope it's something he can stabilize for the rest of the season and doesn't need surgery at all. But if it's a recurring thing, the shoulder, he will need the surgery eventually. Let's hope not, but let's hope he's okay and we can rest him. The team is playing well without him. Obviously with him is better, but we're playing well without him. If we can make the playoffs and him rest more, or he can play less minutes to protect him, to save him for the playoffs, that might be something to do. Well, let's hope this isn't a thing. I know Omar is crying, and all the Julius Randle fans are crying right now. I almost cried when he went down. When I thought people about talking about ligaments and everything, I'm like, oh god, that's the season over and done. That's, we traded for OG, and yeah, it's it. It's next year. There's always next year. But yeah, let's hope.
I thought he'd broken his arm at first, actually, and then I saw the kind of his shoulder was in the wrong place, and I was like, oh, hopefully, I know it sounds terrible, but hopefully it's just a dislocation, but. The way he came down, I thought he'd broken his arm at first, but which would obviously not even give him the option of coming back so soon.
Coming back, yeah. Play with a broken arm. It's okay with a cast. You can use it to shove people off the way, out of the way. We were making fun of players. I was making fun, to be honest. Players making an injury and blaming Jaquez for the injury. Obviously, if it's a basketball play, it's, well, they got tangled in each other and fell down, and unfortunately Randall's arm and shoulder took the fall, and he got injured from it. So obviously, no, it wasn't intentional.
I don't blame a Heat player for injuring one of our players, but actually I thought, if anything, Randall went up too strong considering where the game was. Don't think he particularly needed to attack the rim that bad, you know, but
it's the Tibbs way. Go hard or go home.
Yep, exactly. I guess it's in his makeup, you know, that he can't do things, you know, at 50%. So
go hard or go home.
Yeah.
How you do it? Speaking of go hard or go home, going extremely hard, you talked about how this week we played well and we won our games, but how about this Villanova crew? This Dante DiVincenzo, Jalen Brunson, you've heard about, but Dante DiVincenzo playing tremendously, and Josh Hart as well playing tremendously. They're all playing out of their minds. By the way, speaking of out of their minds, we were talking about injury. Hartenstein is back, which is good. Have him back.
Yeah. Although you're kind of watching him very nervously at the minute. I don't know if about you.
Yeah, it's you're scared now for everything. Every player that falls down. If Brunson gets injured, I mean, I will have a meltdown.
Hartenstein falls down a lot, and Brunson falls down a lot. Yeah,
it's amazing, but he's a durable guy, thankfully. But okay, I mentioned before we go to the Villanova, since I mentioned Hartenstein, how about Precious Achiuwa? How about those minutes without Hartenstein? Well, what's in the water for the backup centers in New York?
Yeah, I honestly don't know where this has come. I mean, he's been a decent player, I think. Certainly in Miami, and then in Toronto, from what I heard, he's been good at times, but he's very up and down, and not exactly the sort of guy that you can rely on. But yeah, this last week he's just been absolutely fantastic. And we talked earlier in the day about how, you know, I think given the way that the Tibbs kind of protect the rim at all costs kind of system, is very straightforward, very simple, and you know, players can kind of plug and play a little bit easier. That's certainly that end of the court. So maybe it's that. Maybe you know, I know that he can shoot threes and things, and he has done even for the Knicks. So, but you know, it's his defense and his protection of the rim that's just been absolutely fantastic, and his energy is brilliant. You know, he's feeding off Hartenstein, just that kind of all action kind of play. You know, and you know, his first few games to the Knicks, I was like, this guy is terrible. But I think we actually talked about it maybe on the pod last week. I can't remember, but about how, you know, when Hartenstein first came on the Knicks, that you know, people were just like, this is not the guy that we thought we were getting. And, you know, just gave it a couple of weeks and then suddenly he's turned into what he is now. And I think that's all it took for Chura. So, yeah, he's, you know, that trade with Toronto is just looking better and better now. As hard as it was to let those guys go, what we've got back is, you know, is looking pretty special.
Yeah, and even going a bit further back, even Noel, the first few games of Noel were like, oh God, it's Noel and Mitch going down. And every time our center just goes down, the guy stepping up steps up amazingly. Noel that year in the playoffs, he was amazing to us. I'm all over the place. Hartenstein played amazing since Mitch went down, and now Precious Achiuwa is playing really, really well, really good, solid minutes, helping the team, providing that energy on defense that we need from our centers, and rebounding and fighting. And that's what basically we need from our centers is energy. Guys providing energy, providing that defense, just being a nuisance to the other team. And we picked them well. We're picking them well. I don't know if they expected Achiuwa to do this. Who's been? I mean, he's not out of this world. And it's not like trade Hartenstein and Mitch for in start Achiuwa, but he's a very solid backup right now. So, and I don't know if Mitch coming back. What's the plan with all these three? Is it Hartenstein and Achiuwa with Achiuwa at the four? I don't know. Because that's the thing, Achiuwa came into the Knicks and it's a totally different role he needs to play than what he played in Toronto. So
yeah,
settling into the team, and he had a lot tougher time than an OG, because obviously people wanted to see OG, and Precious was just a cap filler.
Yeah, as
we joked today, that cap filler is looking pretty good. And well, he's providing solid minutes. That second unit is looking sharp. Might not look sharp tonight as OG and Grimes are out. Yeah, yeah. Tonight's going to be a fest. Hey, good news. Evan Fournier is back. So Evan Fournier is going to probably play, but no Randall, no OG, no Grimes, and no whoever. But hey, at least we got Brunson.
I would love to see Toppin v Toppin, though. I think that would be fun. A fun little kind of kind of story. I know they were on the court at the end, in kind of garbage time the last time we played, and I'd love to see them actually go at each other. That would be fun, just because I don't think it's going to be much of a game tonight. I think the Pacers are pretty banged up as well, so I think Toppin will get some good minutes. So
well, it's whether Obi, yeah. I don't think the younger brother's playing because, well, Tibbs is going to go with the 8-man rotation. Just make it safe. Probably if there's garbage minutes, probably they will play in New York. It's fun to see, it will be fun to see how they New York fans react to Obi Toppin coming back to New York. They had a good reception too quickly and RJ Barrett. It's gonna be fun to see how they react to Obi Toppin. But we won't get to see just now the Randall versus Obi Toppin part two, which is kind of sad because that was quite interesting. That fight was quite interesting.
Randall gets injured and Obi still can't get a start. So,
oh god, I was just coughing. Sorry. Oh god. Yeah. Apparently, this is a 100-day cough. Yeah, looking forward to this.
Yeah. Were you on day three or something?
Yeah, day three. Yeah. Before we diverted into the center talk, I was going to talk about the Villanova guys. The Villanova crew playing amazingly. Dante DiVincenzo providing what we needed, basically. Talking against me, I talked about how losing quickly and RJ would dump us offensively. But Dante DiVincenzo, when needed, has been providing the offense and some. So kudos to him. Thank you. And thank you for shutting me up about that offensive thing. But he's been amazing in that starting lineup. So it's hard to tell. It was a bad move to bench Grimes to start Dante DiVincenzo because the team improved. And in a way, trading RJ in quickly also improved Grimes. He had more has more time. He's doing different things, so he improved as well. After that, shooting role was not doing wonders for him, so let's keep this improving. But yeah,
I was just gonna say I know that the Knicks need some kind of trade bait, but I would really love to see Grimes stick around. You know, I think he has got a lot to offer the team. Yeah, I don't think, as you said, I think especially from that bench unit, I think, you know, he's so kind of versatile that I think he could be really useful. So, but yeah, I mean, if we are going to push on for another trade, you know, we have to give up somebody. You know, nobody's going to want to just Fournier and picks. So I think you need to have another little sweetener in there somewhere.
Well, we traded Knox in the first for someone who did not pan out, but we did that trade. The Knicks did it. That's Knox in the first for Cam Reddish.
Has actually been a non-Knicks trade gone through. Steven Adams, one of my favorite non-Knicks, has gone to the Rockets for Oladipo. So it's a strange one, I think. Yeah.
So it's an injury list trade.
Yeah. But Oladipo, I can't remember the last time he actually played a game, or at least had a serious run of games. But
oh man, Oladipo is such a sad story, man. He could have been
I loved, good. I loved him when he was younger, like brilliant player.
Yeah. I remember watching some Orlando Magic games and they were talking about Oladipo and everything. You were so hyped, but he never panned out in all the injuries.
Was he the number two pick? Was he? He was a really high pick.
I think he was not that high. Let me just
maybe mistaken. Make, him for
make that sure. Oh my god! I typed Victor Oladipo.
Oladipo.
Yeah, I think he was the fifth pick.
I thought he was high, really high.
Draft pick 13. Oh, come on. No, it was number two. He was number two. You were right. It was the Well, who's number one? Also got. You don't remember number one? The biggest busts.
Anthony Bennett.
Oh, the legend, man. Anthony Bennett.
So there's the Raptors again.
Oh my God, this we can discuss this, but I can talk about this. Oh, this is Giannis, the Giannis Antetokounmpo draft. That's at 15.
Oh, really?
I mean, oh God, this, I'm looking at these players, man. Oh my God. Do you know who we drafted that year, 2013? Do you remember?
13. Oh my God.
It was the number 24 pick.
I'm going to throw one out here. Cleanthony Alley.
No, it was Tim Hardaway Jr., Mr. Tradeaway himself. But so look at this. Oh God. This draft. Number one, Anthony Bennett. Number two, Victor Oladipo. Number three, Otto Porter. Number five, Cody Zeller. Number four, Cody Zeller. Number five, Alex Len. Number six, Nerlens Noel.
Make it stop.
Number seven, Ben McLemore. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Oh, Ben McLemore.
Absolutely.
Does he even exist anymore in the NBA? No. How many of the top 10 players are still in the NBA?
So Bennett, I don't know where he is. Oladipo is. Oh, Porter is. Cody is. I mean, there are a few. CJ McCollum was number 10. Stephen Adams was number 12. So yeah, there's Dennis Schroeder was from this. Knicks legend, Shane Larkin. God.
Oh, wow. That's such
this
high
is,
hopes.
This is bad.
There was a Twitter question the other day, and it was like, name somebody, some Knicks player during the bad times that you were irrationally, you know, a fan of.
You like thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
Shane Larkin's up there for me. I thought he was good. Is he not like the EuroLeague MVP last season or this season?
He is pretty good, and yeah, he is. He's amazing in the EuroLeague. He's the best EuroLeague player ever.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm looking. I just for the funsies, I look up the Knicks 2014 roster. It's so good. It's so good. You want to hear some of these guys, some of these players?
Yeah, go for it.
Do you want to?
Yeah.
Knicks 2014. We had Meta World Peace this year. He was a Knick.
We had
Cole Aldridge.
Yeah. Oh, Cole Aldridge
is here. He's amazing. Oh, the Knick legend, Andrea Bargnani.
Lou Amundsen is Lou Amundsen in there?
No, Lou Amundsen was after that.
Was he?
Because we still have Knick legend Raymond Felton and stuff.
All right.
Let's see if it's. Oh my God, this is so fucking. This is so bad.
No, I was thinking the other
day. Yeah.
Do you remember the when Phil Jackson was obviously trying to bring in the triangle again, and he brought in Sasha Vujicic. Because he was going to teach the triangle he was going to teach the triangle on the court. Phil Jackson was going to teach it off the court.
That was fucking just kill me now. Yo, oh no, 2015 was a good year, man.
That was the key.
Quincy AC.
Well, that
Quincy AC.
Yeah, we drafted. I loved Quincy AC.
It was amazing. Yeah. Cole Aldridge. Lou Amundsen.
Yeah.
There he is. Okay. We still had Bargnani.
Yeah.
Your friend Cleanthony Early.
Yep. Get shot in a strip club. No. Yeah.
Oh God.
That was the pinnacle of his career. That was what he was most well known for. Imagine that was your the thing you were most well known for in your NBA career. Getting shot in the strip club.
I'm looking at this. This is so bad. This is so bad. Alexei Shved.
Alexei Shved. He was decent, but decent in a way that, you know, you wouldn't mind him playing for the end of the bench kind of game.
There's another guy that a lot of people believed in. Point guard Langston Galloway.
Yeah.
I have no idea why people just believed in him so much.
But this is the thing. It was irrational. It was a time when the team was that bad that you clung on to any kind of hope that you had. And, you know, Samuel D'Alembert, there was the time where it was the starters for the first game of the season was D'Alembert played and who's the Spanish guy? Point guard.
Calderon. Yeah, Jose Calderon.
Calderon didn't want to start because he didn't think at that point of his career he was capable of playing starter minutes, but they played him anyway because he seriously didn't have anybody else. And you were like, there's a player actually basically saying, please don't start me. I can't.
No. I'm not good enough to start. I'm trash. I'm bench.
He was a good player, but he was done by that point, you know. He was not
a starter. He was what he was. I mean, man. It's ridiculous. It's look times.
But I mean, it just means that, you know, when you come out the pile of shit that was, then, you know, when you get to times like now, it just feels even sweeter, you know. So I think,
oh my God, this is so bad. This is, looking at this is like, oh my God, what did we do?
Here's a question for you, Rafa.
Oh God,
I've often thought about, like, obviously I'm a Partick fan, right? Which means that I'm well averse to having seasons like the Knicks did in the times that you're talking about. That as a Benfica fan, what's the kind of lowest you've been in your supporting time?
So the 90s, we,
right,
up until 93, we were playing well. From 93 until 2004, we won two titles. And we had incredibly bad teams. But incredibly bad teams. You have no idea how bad. Partick Thistle could have beaten those teams. Just so you know. It was bad. It was bad, bad, bad.
Yeah.
And it was miserable. We finished, it was the lowest, but we finished sixth without winning this. So it's a 34 games season.
Have you ever been relegated?
No, yeah. Sixth was the lowest we
were. Dry your eyes, Rafa. Come on.
We have different types of bad. We have different types of bad. I know. Okay. But six is pretty bad. It's pretty bad. It's we could play bad. It's amazingly. And we had a 120,000 people capacity stadium, and the average attendance was 20. So you can see how that was was a sore. It was the lowest time. We had no money. We were really struggling, so it was tough time. We're tough times. So I did not know, because everybody said Benfica was a great team. Well, we were the greatest. Yeah, I have no idea, because I grew up with, so I was from 91. So when I started actually watching games, we were absolute dog shit.
Yeah.
The worst game I remember is a UEFA game, UEFA Cup game. We played Celta de Vigo from Spain, and we lost 7-0. It was pretty devastating. Like, oh my god, I was a kid and I was saying they will turn it around in the second game. No, they wouldn't. It was impossible.
Right. Next time you're over, I'm gonna take you to some lower league Scottish football, and it'll give you a little bit of perspective.
And we're completely derailed off Knicks because we look into the Knicks shit and we get derailed. Yeah. But I actually talked this week with Maria. I wanted to visit different parts of this case Wales and England.
Okay.
Because there are two teams there I really like because of Football Manager.
Okay.
Is a Football Manager travels it. So it's Bury Town from Wales.
Okay.
Yes, it's a Football Manager and Exeter City they're playing in League One now. I follow them every year. I was devastated when they went to the Vanarama National. I completely derailed. We're talking about non-league football. That's what the Knicks do to us.
The Knicks are winning every game, so we don't need to talk about them anymore. We can just go off.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I'm looking at these lists. It's Mindaugas Kuzminskas. Oh my god, yes.
Oh yeah. I mean everybody was irrationally loved Kuzminskas.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, so we played this year, 2018, I was counting, we played 18 players.
Wow.
With all the trades.
Just hoping to get that kind of magic in a bottle kind of from somebody, that kind of, maybe Linsanity was a kind of bad thing for the Knicks, because they were just constantly looking for the next Jeremy Lin, kind of, that just hoped that a Kuzminskas would suddenly turn into something. Superstar.
I don't even know who the best player was in this team. Just look at these names. I will name every player from 2018. Okay, this is how far we've come. This is how far we've come. Let's see if you remember.
Yeah.
Ron Baker. Legend. Ron Baker, the legend. That hair, that point guard, that my God.
Was it the Anthony Davis elbow in the eye? You remember that?
What are you known for?
He's best known for, yeah. That and his hair.
Yeah, not his play.
Remember he had a no trade clause in his contract as well.
Nobody wanted him.
I don't want to go to nowhere. Please trade me somewhere.
I like New York. I like to go to the streets of New York. Don't trade me, please. Okay, nobody wants you anyway. So, this guy, I believe, this guy, I thought, now in his ninth year, this is when he's going to change the course of his career. Michael Beasley.
Oh, walking bucket.
Walking weed bucket.
Yeah.
God.
One of the great college players, to be fair. Again, a very high draft. What was he? Was he what draft pick was he? Was he not like number one or two?
Michael
or something?
I think something he was a high draft pick. Yeah, he was a very high draft pick for Miami. I remember that. It was like, oh, you're gonna pair him with Wade, and we're gonna win stuff. Yeah, they're gonna win everything. Draft. So he was drafted in 2008. He was number two, number two, Michael Beasley to the Miami Heat. Do you know who was number one
that year? I used to know this. What year was it again?
2008. He played for your New York Knicks twice.
Twice? I was going to say Bargnani, but no.
No, number one. No, God. He played twice for the Knicks.
Oh my god.
Once he was signed in free agency, the other one he was traded.
Oh my god. Why has this gone out of my head? I remember when Beasley was on the Knicks, and I remember kind of looking at that draft as well. It put me out of my misery. Yeah.
Derrick Rose. They're number one, Derrick Rose.
For goodness sake, right. Okay.
Yeah. So who did the Knicks pick in that draft? Do you remember?
No,
that was an eight draft. No, he traded. No. He was in the Melo trade.
Oh, Gallinari.
Yeah, Gallinari. Exactly, Gallinari. Yeah. We picked six Gallinari.
Not a bad pick. He's had a good career.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, looking at the draft, you couldn't do much better. I mean, next was Eric Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
So Eric Gordon, DJ Augustin, Joe Alexander, who the hell? We didn't have much after that.
Hmm.
Unless you wanted Gordon Dragic. Yeah. So 2008 draft. So let's continue with the team. The next team, 2017-2018 season. Trey Bird.
Yeah.
Nick Legend, point guard. Another point guard we tried.
Yeah.
Damian Dotson.
Yeah. Yeah, again, solid player, and you know, like nothing wrong with him as a role player. Same with Trey Burke, you know, like but we were looking at these guys as being some kind of savior of the franchise. That's the problem. But like you put those guys on as a 10th, 11th best player in this current team, you're like, fine, no problem. You know,
yeah, if you wanted them to have rotation minutes just to play, just to fill up the rotation, 10-man rotation and whatever you have, most of these guys could give you minutes. Mm-hmm. Could have given you minutes at the time if you had a good team with them. But if this is a team you're presenting and trying to win with this team, trying to present something with this, no one knew what they wanted to do, which was ridiculous. They're all, I mean, Enes Freedom, Enes Kanter at the time. He was a solid player. He was a solid center. He blocked LeBron and got in his face.
Yeah.
Not blocked LeBron, because LeBron bullied Frank Ntilikina.
Yeah, stuck up for Frank, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. What he's best
done for. Who's, oh, my God.
And
Tim Hardaway Jr. was still here.
Kanter was a bit like Andre Drummond, you know, like he would get you like 25 rebounds, but then give up like... you know, minus 40 or something in the plus minus. Do you know, like you would get both
anti OG.
Yeah, you would look at his box score and you're thinking, "Wow, this guy's like the greatest player ever." You know, and then
well, amazingly, yeah. So Tim Hardaway Jr. was still here. Willie Hernan Gomez we had as well. Another tryout. I don't even remember this guy, Isaiah Hicks.
Yeah, I remember him.
He was a.
I remember the name at least. There was a guy that was known as the LeBron stopper. He played one game where he guarded LeBron quite well, and he again irrational kind of overreaction. Right, hold on.
Was it from this team right here?
Pretty much, yeah. Oh, Travis Ware.
Oh, Travis Ware. Yeah, that's from behind. That's for. Yeah, I saw that name around here when I was looking at it. Yeah,
he gets known as the LeBron stopper. Yeah.
Yeah, these guys get a lot of credit for some for stuff they don't. Yeah. Isaiah Hicks.
We should do a kind of where are they now episode when.
Well, probably all in China.
That's true. Well,
Isaiah Hicks played a total of 21 games in the NBA.
Yeah.
Okay. He played two years with the Knicks and fell off the league because we drafted the guy with age 23. Jarrett Jack, Knicks legend, Luke Kornet, Kuzminskas, we mentioned. Courtney Lee was actually a fairly good player. Courtney Lee, Doug McDermott. There it is, Doug McDermott. How could he? He's still in the league, which is remarkable. Well, he's with the Spurs, so he's kind of in the league.
Travis Ware hasn't played in an NBA game since 2018.
18?
Where he was on the Lakers in 2018, then he went to the G League.
Wow. Wow.
Not been seen since 2020. So,
well, he's gone missing. Yeah. Look at these. Emmanuel Mudiay. Oh, someone was going to make this guy right. Going to make the kid right. Emmanuel Mudiay. The Albatross contract, it was Joakim Noah.
Yep.
This is here. Frank Ntilikina, the guy, the man, the legend, the myth. Frank Ntilikina,
Did he play the other night for the Hornets? Because I know he was on the bench, but
I don't think he's playing. I think he's injured or something. He has five games this year. He was playing, but I think he's or out of the rotation because he's so good. Kylo Quinn.
Hey, Rafa. He played 11 minutes against the Knicks the other night.
He played 11 minutes against the Knicks. Look at that. In 11 minutes.
He got two rebounds.
I didn't even notice him.
No points, no assists. Didn't take a shot. No, he did take a shot. Missed it.
He is there to play defense. Defense is what he plays. Man. Come on.
He should have stayed in Europe for another year, I think. Yeah. I think he came over too young.
So we had Porzingis. We had Lance Thomas. Troy Williams. He played in 2019 with the Sacramento Kings and just disappeared. And we talked about this guy a lot this week. Ramon Sessions. We had this Ramon Sessions.
Were we talking about him again?
Because Ramon Sessions said something about, I think it was Frank, about we're gonna make this guy has potential. This is the guy, Ramon Sessions, or Frank, or someone like that. It's like, God, we're so down. We were down bad. When Ramon Sessions has to,
again. This is a total relative thing, you know, like we were talking about, like your expectations when you were now compared to back then were completely different. But I remember having similar thoughts to watching Frank that I did to watching Ananobi now. You know, that kind of, some of the Frank defensive plays were just like, gave me kind of shivers, you know, like they were so good.
Yeah.
Remember when you used to lock down Doncic as well every game? Doncic hated playing against him. And watching OG now, you're just like, I could watch that all day. You know, that's, I love watching that kind of basketball where you're just locking up guys. But with Frank, he just had nothing else, absolutely nothing else. He had a bit of a 3-point shot, but so you just couldn't keep him on the court because, he just couldn't score, which is such a shame.
If you combined Kevin Knox's scoring ability with Frank's elite defense, you'd have had a mild bench play.
I mean, we've talked many times that, you know, there's only a handful of players in the league that are elite at, you know, defense and offense. And, you know, so nobody's expecting that, but Frank had like nothing. You know, you would look at the box score, and I know box scores aren't everything, but he would be like 15 minutes and he'd been playing like 2 points and no rebounds and one assist. And you're just like, come on. If you want to play point guard in the NBA, that's just, you know, that's just not good enough, you know, and you just can't get away with it.
He's not a point guard
defender.
Yeah, he's Again, he was not. He was another guy we threw out there just to try and save us.
Yeah.
Just do it. These guys were talking. You have Dennis Smith Jr., who was happened the same thing to him because he was thrown out there, and well, we didn't have anything to help. Dennis Smith, Frank Ntilikina, Kevin Knox, Dotson, Alonzo Trier, like just throw them all in. Just try and be great. Let's try and save us. Yeah. Just go and save us. Help us out. We're trying stuff here. And, well, they all failed. The pressure and everything, they all just crumbled. They're all in the league, trying to stay in the league, trying to do stuff. But it's,
I actually really respect what Knox is doing. You know, Knox is fighting to stay in the league. And I know the Pistons are dreadful, but, you know, he is getting good minutes there. He is putting up the odd, you know, decent number, and you know, he's at least, you know, not, he's still in the league, you know, and I don't know. He's showing more fight now than he ever did in the Knicks, put it that way. Like, that was one of the real downsides of Knox, was he just didn't have the desire, didn't have that kind of killer instinct. So he seemed to have all the skills that he needed, but
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, he just didn't seem to have that kind of real good IQ. And sometimes he looked lost in the court, and he was just a wee bit kind of all over the place. But you know, he could score. You know, and you sometimes watched him, and you just said that if he could put it all together, and he's a little bit like Obi in a way that, you know, you could see the talent was there, but he just didn't seem to be able to put it all together. And he just didn't really develop the way you hoped.
Yeah, and he was so young. I mean, how old do you think he is right now? It feels like so long ago he's been in the league.
Yeah, I don't know, 23, 24, something like that.
Yeah, he's 24, exactly. He's 24. He's so young. I mean... Yeah. Looking at his stats right here, the first year he played 28 minutes per game. He started 57 games.
Yeah.
He never started again. We just
took
him off starting. I mean, no consistency. We didn't know what we're doing. I mean, Kevin Knox is Kevin Knox. I know he did not develop into anything we hoped. He is what he is. He's fighting. But again, we so did not help these guys. Our situation did not help any of these guys. I mean, none of them became anything in this league, to be honest. So yeah, we can say the Knicks were right about giving up on them, but we did such disservice to these guys. We've discussed this. I said this many, many times, how bad we were. We just ruined careers. Ruined careers. He's still getting millions, still getting paid millions to play basketball. The expectations were so much bigger for Knox. I mean, the first year, the first month of the season, like of his career, rookie of the month. It's like, what? Amazing.
Yeah.
The next Kevin Durant. And, well, he was not the next Kevin Durant. And he was, well, he was Kevin Knox. I mean, we've went into a hole. We got here. It's amazing.
Well, let's finish with a positive then, Rafa. All-star reserves have just been announced. Brunson and Randall are both on there.
There you go.
Along with Maxi, Brown, Bam, Banchero, and Donovan Mitchell.
My God. Finally, Jalen Brunson gets the All-Star. Amazing.
Who's going to come in. Oh, no, actually, sorry. That was just somebody's pick. But I saw that Brunson had definitely...
Oh, my God. Did you bait me? Oh, my God.
I saw that Brunson had definitely been announced, but... hold on. Give me a second.
Release. It's almost there. Yeah, we were trying to buy some time to get this. I'm trying to get this.
Yeah. So Bam's definitely been confirmed. Brunson's definitely been confirmed.
Well, Brunson being there is such, it's such a, it's overdue. I mean, it's overdue. And Randall is a reserve as well. It's confirmed. Yeah. NBA on TNT, just so I can check in Twitter. Randall is an all-star. Tyrese Maxey, Bam Adebayo, Julius Randall, Jalen Brunson, Donovan Mitchell. Yeah. Jalen Brown. For the West, right here, Karl Anthony Towns, Paul George, Steph.
I was reading a prediction thing rather than
on Twitter, NBA on TNT, they were announcing it. So Anthony Edwards is there, Devin Booker, obviously Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard is there as well. So it's good that Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson are there. It's it's good. They deserved, both of them deserve. How long has it been since we had two All-Stars? I don't even remember. I don't even remember the last time we had two All-Stars. Because Melo was...
Melo, Stanton. So you got Melo, Stanton, Chandler, as in whether there was two out of those three at any point, but I doubt it.
I don't think New York Knicks Stoudemire was an All-Star. Was he? I don't remember that, but I know if it's that time. Well, Banchero has been confirmed. Yeah, he's there.
Yeah.
Tyrese Maxey. He's been having a great season. Yeah.
Yeah. No, he deserves it. And Bam does. So
I don't know.
I don't think there's. I certainly think in the East, I don't think there's going to be any surprises. I think Banchero definitely deserves it as well. He's been playing fantastic. Jalen Brown probably just gets in there as much because he's on the Celtics, and the Celtics need multiple obviously picks.
God, shot at the Celtics, love it. Super excited. Jalen Brunson,
Eric not made it. Porzingis making it?
No, Porzingis. Oh, God. Yeah, super excited. Jalen Brunson is finally an All-Star. He's long overdue. He should have been an All-Star last year. He's an All-Star this year. Amazing. Bummed out that probably Julius Randle won't be at the game. Won't be in this game because of the injury. But he's still a three-time All-Star. Having a three-time All-Star in your team is pretty amazing. It's pretty good. So he did make the All-Star team. Two Knicks in the All-Stars. What a positive.
Maybe Porzingis comes in as ironically an injury reserve.
Oh, God. I don't know who's gonna do this. Yeah, who's gonna take Randall's spot.
Yeah.
Or probably.
Oh, here it is. Here, so Jalen Brown, Mitchell, Brunson, Bam, Randall, Maxey, Banchero, and then Kawhi, AD, Booker, Ant Edwards, Curry, Paul George, and Towns. So
Curry's in there. Yeah.
So there's no Trae Young, no De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah, no Sabonis as well. So it's James Harden's been playing not amazingly for the beginning of the season. So
Clippers have been doing well though.
Yeah, man. Yeah, no Trae Young. I mean,
no Jamal Murray again.
Jamal Murray, he hasn't been playing tremendously. Yeah. He's been playing well, but I don't think not amazingly.
I think we talked about it. I don't think he's ever made an All-Star team.
Yeah, he's never. Yeah, I mean, it's
despite being
hard
the second best player on a championship team. Yeah.
Well, it's the Nuggets aren't must-see TV, so yeah.
Scotty
but
Barnes.
Yeah, the Trae Young thing, it's you were talking, I mean, Trae Young is, the fans vote for him because they like what they see, obviously the fans, but the coaches, they don't seem to, or the media doesn't seem to go for Trae Young as much as they used to, as they used to. I mean,
yeah, he was right up there in the fan vote, wasn't he? But
yeah, he was ahead of Jalen Brunson. Yeah, so Brunson got a lot of votes from other sources, which is him and Randall. So they're not flashy players, but they people look at him, and having two All-Stars where it's I mean, how many teams have two All-Stars in this this thing? So not many, and we have two of them. So people are looking at us. Well,
the Bucks
totally
have two stars, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, it's Dame, but we have two. The Bucks have two. Philly has two in the East, obviously. So yeah, it's a pretty fun times.
Yeah.
I don't care. It's not a jinx. It's fun times. We have two All-Stars. Amazingly, so we've went for the past. You see how we build this up. We're tremendous. Like we talked about the shit the Knicks were, and now we have two All-Stars. Amazingly, yeah. amazing to turn around this franchise. Jalen Brunson is an All-Star. It's
and both might make both might make the All-NBA teams as well.
Ooh, the All-NBAs is a well. There's three Brunson teams, so, yeah, but Brunson, yeah, probably. Let's hope so. Two all NBA players as well is very good. If they made the all, if made the All Star, they continue like this, they will be in the all NBA players. So we've waited, and we had it, the results. So shall we do our predictions for this week for the next games? Only three games this week because we're trying to record every Thursday. So let's. There's a game on Thursday being played right now. So we're playing. Wait, this is going all over. Oh, I'm seeing the wrong bit. Sorry. So we have the Pacers coming up right now. The top in versus top in game. We have the Lakers and we have the Grizzlies because we're playing the Mavs again on that night. We're recording, they're playing, so only three games. Well, not easy games. Pacers, Lakers, Grizzlies. You don't know what to expect with the Lakers if they have the referees pocket or not.
Well, LeBron and AD have been out. I don't know if they're playing tonight, but there was talk about them returning, funnily enough, against the Knicks. But they've both been out, apparently.
Yeah, but this... I don't know. Could I say 3-0? You're just going that... Continue this win streak? Is it possible?
Why not?
Is it possible? Yeah, why not?
Of course it's possible. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So do you think it's possible? You're picking with three wins and no losses this week, Alex?
I'm gonna go for 2-1 just because of the injury situation, but yeah, it's definitely possible.
There you go. Not too optimistic.
So both LeBron and AD are out against the Celtics tonight.
Yeah, but they won't miss MSG. They won't miss MSG. Just the chance.
Celtics have a full team out. Yeah.
The everybody's out.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were saying everybody's out. Everybody's resting. Everybody's not playing this like this period, which makes sense. Like they don't play this week. Week of games, and then the All-Star break, they don't play those games as well. So a bit of a gap there for the players to rest and recuperate and get back to 100%. So yeah. I'm going to go positive, 3-0. We're winning. We're beating the Pacers because they don't have – well, if we lose the Pacers with Obi Toppin scoring 40 points, I will be very crossed. We have to beat the Lakers and the Grizzlies, man. Come on. We can't lose the Grizzlies. They're improved with the return of Mr. Cowboy, shooting cowboy, Ja Morant. But well, it's we gotta win three in a row. Just get that winning streak to double digits. I want to see that 10 game winning streak, that double digit win streak. I don't remember the last time again I saw something like that. So anything else you want to add for this week, Alex? Anything? Any pessimistic opinion? I mean, anything? No?
not really. I'm just, it's obviously a bit sad about the injuries, but and I think that this run's going to come to an end at some point, but you know, it's with the injuries piling up as they are. I mean, unless Foney comes back and becomes, you know, that kind of you know, record 3-point shooter that he was, I don't think we have much of a hope tonight. So, but I've said that before, and this team just seems to be constantly surprising us. So, why not? You know, Josh Hart's been playing great. So, DiVincenzo has obviously been playing great.
Brunson's been over Nick, man.
And we've got Hartenstein back. So the starters are looking, you know, fine. But yeah, do we have enough on the bench to kind of get through? So, I think Theo is definitely possible, but I'm going to be cautious and go 2-1. So
you're going to be, you're still the pessimist. You're Scottish, so you get a pass.
Exactly.
So this brings us to an end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening again to two Knicks fans, crazy Knicks fans, just talking Knicks. Just follow us on X. Follow us everywhere you want us to listen to the podcast. Interact with us on X again at Worldwide Knicks Podcast. We just talk all the shit, basically all the Knicks shit. One loves Tibbs, one hates Tibbs. Alex, I just needed to say,
coach of the month Tibbs, wash him
exactly
out, Rafa.
Exactly. Now, coach of the month, he's been doing a hell of a job with this team, probably having the players he would like to have around the team that he wants to build helps. So kudos to Tibbs as well. Almost forgot to mention that. I would always forget enough. No, congratulations to Tibbs. Congratulations to Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle. So let's go. Everything we need is to bring the cup home, right? Yeah, let's finish with this one, this thought. Thanks again for listening, and have a great week.